So we're at our last chapter, and this one, this title is from one of the verses. O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Verse 4. And I'll read through. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. To that same time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. It's getting very specific, right? And if there's some qualifying statements there, although we know there's an inward application, but we have to remember there is an end time and there's an outward end time. And Christ will come, and the earth, the picture that's painted for us in Matthew and Daniel and many other sections of scripture is that it's going to be very turbulent before Christ comes. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we have the privilege to know that when we read God's word, we know it's an as was and will be word. It's an eternal word. So God hides the truth from the masses. They can't picture and see and understand. Where does that fit? How is it possible that he's just talking about one event and then talks about another event that seems to be separated by thousands of years? You have to go and get that?
Go ahead. I'm good. Okay.
So I read that again. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So you got two men on either side, and you've got the man clothed in linen in the middle, who, as we'll see, represents Christ. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel, like all the prophets of old, were used of God to shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And it was for the elect's sake that God ordained it to be so, and we're familiar with these verses, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And that would explain why he's asking and why he doesn't understand. It wasn't written for him, it was written for the elect. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The process of judgment I put in here upon all of the world, that's what we know that to mean, that are within us and must be ruled over through Christ in order to fulfill God's will. So John 1, verse 29, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. That's a very, really key point, obviously, because if Christ is fulfilling God's will in our life, then we're promised eternal life. That is the promise, gift of being in the blessed and holy first resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, as we die daily, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In order for us to faint not, our outward man must perish, and the inward man is renewed, or will be renewed day by day as we die daily. God is accomplishing this in the lives of everyone that shall be found written in the book by the faith of Christ that is given to the church that must be tried in fiery trials in order to perfect that faith of Christ within us. We are immeasurably blessed to learn and know that the trials God gives us build up the church and not tear it down as he brings us to our safe haven. When we feel sore pressed on every side through judgment, God will intervene and deliver us after we are brought to our wits' end. And then, with that comfort that he provides through the trial, we'll be able to comfort others, building up the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we know it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom, so there's much comfort that God provides through that tribulation. It is through Christ and Christ alone that those seals of judgment can be opened and endured by those who are called unto this narrow way, narrow and straight way, that brings with it the strength of Christ and the promises of God to tell us we won't faint in the day of adversity, because God is faithful to hear and deliver his people. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, 14, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Of course, many are called, but few are chosen, and that's the few who are dragged to Christ, who are strengthened through Christ to endure that narrow way of life that we're called unto, that straight gate. Revelation 5, verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Which, when we think of that in the context of Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, is very encouraging because it's Christ who's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants us to focus in on these exceedingly great and precious promises that he's given us, which speak of our hope of glory within. Christ is making a way for us to obtain the extra oil of God's word supplied through the church, through the trials of our faith, through the adversities of life that God has promised will not prevail against the church, but rather will be the means by which we will be able to go unto perfection on the third day. And that's, if you think of the book of Revelation, when he says he counsels them to go and buy gold and ointment for your eyes and salve for the eyes and ointment for the ears, because they've already been going through that process. But we recognize we're blessed to have those trials where you need, after a trial, you need that healing. You need that oil. You need that salve. So we recognize what's happening, and we're blessed to say to those who come to us, and it's all in God's timing. If God wants that person to be healed, they'll be healed. They'll follow that pattern. Being confident of these promises and the work of grace through faith we're experiencing through Christ unto salvation is very much what this last chapter of Daniel is all about. Starting with the first verse, it sets the stage for these final prophecies of Daniel that are filled with promise and hope for the body of Christ. So our first verse, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Michael standing up represents the angels or messengers of God who experience God being mindful of them by way of the Holy Spirit, the comforter that will strengthen them and see them through a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Matthew 24, verses 20 and 22 tells us, but pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Michael therefore represents our hope of glory within Jesus Christ. Malachi 3, verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Revelation 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. So this is our day of visitation. If we recognize it, we're blessed. If we recognize we're being judged, if we see that we're going through trials and afflictions, that's a good thing. That's the token that we are being worked with. We're in the potter's hand. God's working with us. We're being told there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at the same time, thy people shall be delivered. And this thought parallels with Christ's own words in Matthew chapter 24, verses 20 and 22 to 22. It is simply because God is mindful of his children that they will be able to endure through whatever God has ordained for them to endure through in this life. And we read that, but 1 Corinthians 10, 13 has the hope that we need to read. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. At any stage in our life, no matter what's coming or what has already happened or what's happening right now, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we serve a Father, our God in heaven, who's faithful. We commit our lives unto him as unto a faithful God, and he faithfully takes us through the tribulations. It is because God is mindful of his workmanship, the church, the little flock, that at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Revelation 20:12, where he talks about the books. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and they opened the books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And Lord willing, we're in that book. And the dead were judged by the things having been written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Of course, the prior event being talked about. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All men will hear his voice in the order that God has ordained. And it can only be in one of two resurrections, as we know, unto the resurrection of life or unto the resurrection of damnation. This is precisely what, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt, is a prophecy of. So one is contempt and judgment, right? John 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour come is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, each man in his order, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation, which is judgment. Krinos, I think is the word. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, did I read this, not, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I did read this. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Figuratively speaking, we are Christ's feet that are first washed before the rest of the world. And so we read, he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, this is the order of how all men will be saved. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And that will happen, of course, during the 1,000-year reign of the saints and right into the lake of fire, great white throne judgment. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. His feet being the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who will be God's threshing tool. Ephesians 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In John 13, verses 8 to 10, Peter saith unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, and specifically his feet, you have no part with me. The elect are washed first, so we can have a part in God's plan of salvation. We come up and our walk has been washed. Of course, Obadiah 1:21, saviors will come up on Mount Zion to judge them out of Esau. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. 1 Corinthians 15:22-25, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, and every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Isaiah 41:14-16, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help you, saith the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And that's what the elect will do, because many are called. We're going to be turning the many to righteousness if we're in that blessed and holy first resurrection. It is those who were granted to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior who will shine as the brightness of the firmament. The firmament represents the mind of Christ that we have now within our hearts and minds because of our heavens being cleansed. With that mind of Christ, we'll be able to save ourselves and those who hear us. 1 Peter 4:16. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16. And those are the verses that talk about that grace and that process of sanctification that we have to go through. And what it means to have the mind of Christ is to be able to then, with what God does through us, to prepare us to be those threshing tools. In time, all mankind will hear the manifest knowledge of God made known through the church, who are likened unto the stars forever and ever. Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. And those churches will be used to, well, the church, it's one church, turn many to righteousness, meaning all of humanity unto righteousness. And then Daniel 12:4, O thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel is not given to know the truth of these prophecies, and so his book is closed, as opposed to, at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of Daniel 12:1. The seals of the book are open now for God's elect, which describe the detailed process of judgment that God's people must go through in order to make the bride ready. Confirming Acts 14:22, the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And of course, we're going to do that through the faith of Christ. So we continue in the faith. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride or adorned for her husband. Christ is our husband. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Thy people are delivered because God will send his word and heal the elect in this age, so that we in turn will be sent as Christ was sent to us to heal the nations. Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. John 20, verses 21 and 22, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that's why those saviors are sent. We're being sent to save the world. As Christ is, so are we. The many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, represents the many call, ever searching but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Part of the increase of physical knowledge is the increase in understanding historical events, as we've been reading, of history via the antitypes of Christ. However, by not connecting that reality of the spiritual antitypes to the spiritual type in Christ, leaves the searcher of truth ever searching and not able to come to the knowledge of the truth without them even knowing that's what's happening. This is a key to the kingdom that keeps the masses that are searching for Christ blinded. And as Christ said, it's not that the many called don't want to see these truths. It's simply that it has not been given to them to know the truth. And it is given to God's children whose eyes and ears have been blessed to be opened first. For many are called, but few are chosen. And we could be, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth if it wasn't for God's mercy. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the parables in Matthew, talked about Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, are doing their work. They're blinding the masses, and at the same time, they're revealing to the elect the reality that there are many called and few chosen, and given to see both sides of that pillar, the light and the dark. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 to 26, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In John 6, 44, it says, no man can come unto the Son unless the Father drags him. So if God is dragging someone to us, to the body, we are blessed to be able to speak the words of Christ and bring healing. We're sent to them for that reason, and they're dragged to Christ in us for that reason. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Matthew chapter 13, verses 17 and 19, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, Daniel in particular, as we're learning, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Then we have this section, verses 5 to 9. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the people, of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So there's a definite timeline being described here. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel then sees in these verses we're looking at, two men standing on either side of the river and a man clothed in linen upon the waters. The man clothed in linen represents Christ, who is in our midst as we live and move and have our being within him. Whether we acknowledge him is another thing. Whether we recognize that is another thing. The word one is not in the original text of Daniel 12, verse 6. So it is Daniel who asked the question, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? The two men on either side of the bank of the river represent the two witnesses who represent the elect, and the man on the water typifies Christ being clothed in linen. So Christ being in the midst of our life in as living waters, as opposed to living and moving and having your being in Christ. There's a difference. And his answer to Daniel about the wonders that he is seeing describes for God's elect who have ears to hear that it is by Christ's relationship with our Father and our relationship with them both that these wonders can be understood. In other words, Colossians 1:27, we understand these mysteries only because of the life of Christ within us. If God's Spirit's not within us, then we don't understand. We're Daniel, we're standing and we're looking at these two men and we're looking at Christ and we're not understanding. We're not understanding the words. The man on the water held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that lives forever, because it is Christ who must intercede for us to be able to then fulfill what is said next, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and a half, rather, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So there's a scattering, and there's a negative and a positive for scattering. When the shepherd was smitten and the sheep were scattered, that's the negative. But when Christ sends his Holy Spirit and he says, we're few, many are called, fewer are chosen, called and chosen, that's the other scattering, the little flock. This time, times and a half, is the time of our ministry on this earth, which is Christ's ministry, being performed through the elect. Daniel heard the words, but he did not understand. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Again, reminding us how blessed we are to have eyes that see and ears that hear what Christ is saying in the midst of the church. Daniel's time will come when he will know and understand. But at this point, he was prophesying for us and was told, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Then in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And then in the BBE, what does that say over?
Basic
Bible. Till a number are tested and make themselves clean. And the evildoers will do evil, for not one of the evildoers will have knowledge, but all will be made clear to those who are wise. Many can both be seen as a larger or smaller number of people. We know there is an innumerable multitude spoken of in the book of Revelation, and that would be many. But the symbolic number of 144,000, which can be numbered and represents the elect, is still many throughout the ages who have been called and chosen and remain faithful to the end. Just a lot less, obviously, but still many. In other words, till a number are tested, or many shall be purified. Revelation 17, verse 14. So all who have been called, yeah. Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Going through a process of judgment, just bring it down right there, in order to be purified and made white and tried, is what those who are called and chosen and faithful of Revelation 17, 14 will experience in this life. It is those trials that will help us learn obedience in this life and help us understand the will of God that transforms our thinking and brings our thoughts into subjection unto Christ, which is what 2 Timothy 2:12 and Titus 2, verses 12. A lot of twos and ones are. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But we will. The elect are promised. They're going to drink the cup. They're going to go through trials. They're blessed to go through that. There's no option here. If you are being dragged to Christ, you're going to go through those trials. It's Titus 2, verse 12, teaching us, that's the word paiduo, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hebrews 12, 6, and this is how that's accomplished. It's through the Lord working with us, receiving us. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives.
You didn't read that.
Those who despise God's chastening are spoken of with these words, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. So that ties in really well, because they continue to do wickedly and they're not chastened, so they don't understand. So clearly, if we are chastened, we're being received and our understanding, our heavens are being purified and cleansed, and we're understanding, oh, this is why we're going through these trials. Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. The abomination of desolation being set up in the temple of God for 1,290 days represents the man of perdition, or beast on the throne of every man's heart, from Adam till every man. And the number 12 represents our fleshly foundation in this case, which must be judged. And of course, Christ was the only one who ruled over that man of perdition. Those powers and principalities, Christ fought them all of his life. And Satan never had dominion over Christ. So the nine is judgment. The way this judgment is accomplished is by God's hand, one, and our flesh is made manifest and witness against for what it is, that's the two, through his judgment, nine. The knowledge of sin being made known by the law that judges us, Romans 3, verse 20. So that's where we all start off. That's the schoolmaster, of course, the law. Whether it's a Gentile law, it's very similar, like we've learned. The law of Moses is not much different from the law of Hammurabi, but it's a law nevertheless for the flesh. Those who endure to the end will be saved in this life. And what we must be blessed to endure is the complete judgment of God's wrath poured out upon us. Enduring through his wrath against our old man is symbolized by those who waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. These are those who not only fall on the stone and are broken, but also on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's those extra days are represented by that extra step. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And that's God permitting. We go beyond just being broken. We are actually then refined and put through the fiery trials that perfect holiness within us. So we can be God's workmanship and made fit to do the things that he's predestined for us to do. The 45 days beyond 1,290 days that take us to 1,335 days reveals symbolic numbers that herald back to the point that God's elect must go through a process of judgment in order to be purified and made white and tried. Starting with the number 45, we see it is the whole four of the elect who will be saved by grace through faith. And the numbers 4 plus 5, of course, add up to 9, which is the number that represents judgment that we must endure to the end. These judgments are what are needed to form the patience and faith of the saints by which we can possess our souls. The number 1,335 represents the means by which God's workmanship will be completed within those who have been predestined unto that work in this life. The one represents God again, who is doing the work in us through Christ. The two threes are a witness that it is Christ who is carrying out the process of judgment within us that will enable us to be saved by grace through faith, the number five. So it's just saying that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith as he works within us. Daniel 12, verse 13, last verse. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel had to be a patient man. And I wrote down here, James, of course, chapter 5, verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. So Daniel had to be a patient man, being given all of this knowledge and wisdom and prophecy, and yet was told, go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. To stand in thy lot at the end of the days is coming up in the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. The prophets patiently enduring through so many trials in this life is the reason why they will have fewer stripes in the lake of fire. But every man's works, including Daniel's and John the Baptist, and all of humanity must be tried with fire. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work, and I mean, that's very telling, if we are his workmanship, well, it will endure the fire, because Christ will be in the midst of that fire with us, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Christ. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And that, of course, is the second group. That's the second resurrection. Saved by the same fire, but saved in that judgment, the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. Mark 9, verses 49 and 50, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt is lost, have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. And that's our study for tonight, and that's the end of the book of Daniel. Thank you all for coming up.